Hey, I'm Christina Quinn. Welcome back to Try This from the Washington Post. This is the second of three classes in our course about making the most of our friendships. In our first class, we evaluated our social fitness with the help of Dr. Bob Waldinger, director of the Harvard Study of Adult Development. We took a good look at the state of our friendships and the kinds of support we may or may not be getting, or giving, and what we can do to make these relationships more fulfilling. In this second class, we're going to share some steps for how you can do this. And it's going to get uncomfortable with someone who knows a lot about uncomfortable situations.
I'm Carolyn Hacks, and I'm an advice columnist at the Washington Post.
And now we're friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you didn't seem enthusiastic about that. Okay. I was just putting myself out there, Carolyn.
Carolyn Hacks has been fielding questions from readers about friendships and all kinds of relationships for more than 25 years at the Post. Her trademark style is a special blend of empathy with a tough love, no BS approach. And we're going to rely on some of that to whip us into shape.
Are many of us lazy when it comes to friendships?
I think the short answer is yes. And I think there are a bunch of reasons for that. I think the fact that we can be home and still be connected, and we can be home and still work, we can get all of our media, we can entertain ourselves. I love these things. I take advantage of these things. But I think of all of the friends that I have, and I think of all the connections that I have, really, really valuable ones. And I made them by going to work every day, and I made them by going to school and talking to the person next to me. I made them by being on teams and going to practice. I mean, having an annoying person in your cubicle next door is helpful.
Wait, how? I'm just thinking of the countless people who are like, tell me how helpful it is to have that annoying person in my cubicle.
Well, you see, it's helpful because it's not happening to me. No. So it's helpful because you learn coping skills. You learn to figure out what is tolerable about the person, or you figure out how to problem solve. Hey, I need to get my desk moved. Hey, I need to find another job. You know, just I'm all for comfort, really. I sound like an enemy of it, but I do think we calcify, and dealing with people develops skills. And those skills help you in ways later on that you can't possibly foresee. So you have to go to an office. You have to work with people. Sometimes all you get out of it is the ability to get through the day with somebody you can't stand. But sometimes you get through it with a friend for life.
And if you don't have an office to go to, that's fine. Carolyn's point is that being forced to interact with people, wherever that may be, expands our world and challenges us in ways that keep us socially fit. So if you want to expand your social circle and aren't sure where to start, it may be time to join a thing.
The best thing you can do is a shared activity because you can stand side by side. You have a natural thing to talk about. You are not focused on yourself. You're focused on what you're trying to do. And you're also seeing each other on a regular basis for a regular interval.
If you're thinking small talk and awkwardness are not good for you, we're going to hear from our bud, Bob Waldinger, about why you might actually be wrong. Stay put. It turns out we actually enjoy a lot of casual interactions, despite what we expect. Here's a perfect example. In 2014, researchers from the University of Chicago published a study they conducted with people who took the commuter rail. They recruited people walking alone to the train station and randomly assigned them to do one of three things. The control group was asked to do what they'd normally do on their commute. A second group was told to keep to themselves and sit in solitude. And the third group was told to talk to a stranger and try to make a connection. The longer the conversation, the better. Afterwards, they asked the participants, how do you feel now? The study found that the people who talked to strangers reported a significantly more positive commute than the people who didn't talk to anyone. Part of the study even had people predict how talking to a new person on the commuter train would make them feel, and very few thought they'd actually like talking to a stranger. It turns out our expert from the previous class, Bob Waldinger, observed something similar. We just aren't that great at predicting what's good for us.
There's this kind of resistance to reaching out to connect with somebody we don't know or we don't know very well. Because we might think, well, that person isn't going to want to talk to me, or it's going to be awkward, or whatever the story is we tell ourselves. And so one of the things I've found is that if I practice, if I just make myself get over that little bit of resistance and just say something, just strike up a conversation, it almost always goes well. And even when it doesn't go well, it's just that somebody doesn't feel like talking and it's okay.
It turns out that like most of us aren't jerks.
No, most people aren't jerks. And people love to be noticed and they love to be seen. They love it when you're curious about them. So if you are genuinely curious about somebody, usually they light up.
If by now you're listening to this and you've decided that talking to strangers and joining group activities are just pushing you way too far out of your comfort zone, don't bail. I have a feeling this next suggestion might be your sweet spot. It's about finding more time to see the friends you already have.
If we are still thinking of hanging out with friends as hours-long brunches on Saturdays and late nights going out, we still conjure up the images we had in college, that's going to be a big part of the problem because then we'll continue to say, I don't have time for friends.
Danielle Byard-Jackson is a friendship coach who is the host of the Friend Forward podcast. And she's amassed a huge following on TikTok for her straightforward, thoughtful advice. She says as priorities shift with adulthood, we also need to rethink what it looks like to spend time with friends.
It might be a little less sexy, but it might mean I'm doing a Target run and I'm like, hey, I'm going to Target. Come with me and tell me about your date, you know, while I go and pick up some lotion, you know, so it's not as fun, but hey, we're clocking hours together. I'm seeing your face. We're laughing together in real time. You know, maybe it looks like taking the kids and we go to the park together. And yes, we do need those special moments we put on the calendar we're looking forward to, and it's distraction free. But for a lot of us, we're going to have to get creative about what it looks like to spend time with our friends. And we have to stop seeing friendship as like a recreational opt-in on the weekends and start really looking at it as a wellness imperative. And I think that would make a lot of us sense a little more urgency around trying to figure out ways to spend time together.
So meet me where I am and I'll meet you where you are. Because here's the thing, we aren't seeing enough of each other. According to the US Census Bureau's American Time Use Survey, between 2010 and 2013, the average American spent about 6.5 hours a week with friends. That started to change in 2014, when we began spending less time with each other. As of 2021, we're clocking in a little under 3 hours a week. That's a big difference. But Danielle sees this as an opportunity. And so could you.
I was like, you know what? What if I set a goal for myself to see if I can spend 6 hours a week with my friends?
Ooh, I love this. This is great. So how have you been doing?
Well, first of all, it really called into question my relationship with work. So I've been really strict about, hey, I cannot have appointments after 4. So that's been really helpful. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm taking the advice around what are the things I'm already doing? Can I invite a friend? So I have done the, I'm going to Target. Are you free at noon to come to Target? Or, hey, I have work. Do you want to co-work? Like we can clock 3 hours together by just both working and between emails, chatting a little bit. And then this weekend, I invited a friend over for the first time with her whole family, which we don't really do. And was like, do you want to come over just all of y'all? And we just eat and run our mouth for a couple hours. So I'm probably going to clock like 4 hours on Saturday. But, you know, it's not just friends time. It's the whole family. But that's just how we're going to have to work it out this week.
All right. Time to challenge yourself. See if you can get in an extra 20 minutes with your friends this week and try adding a little bit more every week. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It could be a walk or an errand, as long as you're getting that in-person time. Remember, good friendships are good for your health. Okay, a quick recap. Number one, don't be lazy. Maintaining your social fitness takes work. Even acquaintances and casual interactions can be rewarding and keep your social skills sharp. Number two, join a thing. It's in some ways the easiest way to meet and interact with new people, especially if you're not the type to strike up a conversation with randos. And number three, if you don't have time for group activities, have friends meet you where you are. Rethink what it looks like to spend time with friends. If you can't swing those marathon brunches anymore, run errands together. Sometimes just committing to something is the biggest hurdle, which is an uncomfortable truth for many of us. But that's all part of getting out of your comfort zone. So hear me out. Commit to a plan. Whether it's making a consistent plan, like meeting a friend at a diner one morning a month, or joining a thing full of people you don't know, stick with it. That's it for our second class. Up next in our third and final class on making the most of your friendships, we're going to talk about what to do when things get tough. That final class will be available for everyone next Tuesday, but you can access it right now and ad-free with a subscription to The Post. If you already have one, great. Find the Washington Post channel in Apple Podcasts and connect your subscription there. If you don't yet have one, you can subscribe to The Washington Post through the link in our show notes. All right, meet me in class 3.